And welcome everybody to the Future of Professional Wrestling Podcasting 3, Body Slam Radio. Of course, my name is Duncan Welker. I am your host. And this week on the Body Slam Radio, we're going to be taking a look at RCCW Unprecedented from this past Saturday night. Of course, if you don't know, Rocket City Championship Wrestling is an independent promotion located in beautiful Halo Green, Alabama. They host shows every first and third week of the month. So, with that in mind, let's take a look at RCCW Unprecedented from this past Saturday night. First match we got on tap here is the Superstars of the Kane Empire. Of course, that's Big T and Steve Pleading taking on the Lost Souls, that is Problem Child and Chaos. Of course, this match came about because two weeks ago at RCCW Conflict, the Lost Souls made their return to Rocket City Championship Wrestling and attacked the Superstars. So, with that in mind, let's take a look. Early on here in the match, a stand down between the two teams, you know, and the Superstars have a bigger size advantage on the Lost Souls, and you know, we'll see how that will factor into the match. But with that in mind, Big T goes for a crank powerbomb. You know, he's cranking the neck of Problem Child, but Problem Child counters it, and then later on here, Pleasing with a DDT goes for the cover, but Chaos does kick out of that. Then Chaos with a few jabs, the final blow sends Pleasing down to the canvas. Then Big T gets on the offensive, goes on the top, but both Lost Souls, both Chaos and Problem Child, drag him down from the top, like they pick him up, and they like send him right down to the canvas. And yeah, so moving on here, Chaos looked to ram himself into Big T, but manager Bradley Kane pulled Big T out of the corner in the nick of time, sending Chaos into the ring post. Then later on here, Superstars get on the offensive. They hit their signature double team maneuvers, in which Big T Irish whips Chaos into the corner, where he would meet Steve Pleasing's boot. Then later on here, Problem Child with a double drop kick to both T and Pleasing, then hits drop kick to both men individually, both to Pleasing and Big T individually, of course. The Lost Souls hits an amazing double Northern Light suplex. Chaos goes for the cover, but Pleasing does kick out of that. Then the closing moment of this match was both Problem Child and Big T pushed the ref, you know, like they had their hands on the rip the entire time, and both Problem Child and Big T pushed the ref into the corner, in which the ref disqualifies both teams. This match ends in a double disqualification. You know, I gotta say, it was a good match between two well-known Rocket City Championship Wrestling tag teams, two established Rocket City Championship Wrestling teams, I should say. And I liked it, but that's just me, of course. And I guess we'll have to see how this rivalry plays out. Like I said, I enjoyed the match, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Our next match on the card here is Fantasy with Dr. Trey Franklin taking on Cassandra Golden in a ladies division match. This is, of course, a rematch from 2 weeks ago at RCCW Conflict, in which Fantasy won that matchup with some outside help from one Dr. Trey Franklin. And, of course, Cassandra Golden showed her feelings about that win by Fantasy and the assistance from Dr. Trey Franklin. She showed her, you know, unrelenting, I guess, fury. She wanted a rematch, and, well, she got it. So, with that in mind, let's take a look here. In the only moments of this match, Cassandra gets Fantasy in the corner and just hits a pair of brutal knife edge chops to the chest of Fantasy. I gotta say something here. You'll hear me using the word brutal chops a lot, because that is what happened during the show, because it seems like a lot of wrestlers use the knife edge chop in the moveset. I mean, and yeah, it's popular because you could hear the woo every time it happened. And I mean, it just seems like if you use a move too much in a show, it kind of devalues it. But that's just in my opinion, of course. But nonetheless, after the chops, Cassandra Ashworth Fantasy into the other corner, because she got it, because she got Fantasy in one corner, and she Ashworth into the, to the other corner, goes for a corner splash, hits it, goes for the cover, but Fantasy does kick out. Then a little later on here, it seemed like Cassandra wasn't showing any mercy on Fantasy after that win 2 weeks ago from Fantasy with the assistance of Dr. Trey Franklin. And I don't blame her, because it seems to me like Dr. Trey Franklin's kind of, I wouldn't say a weasel in the way of Bobby Heenan. He's more a weasel in the way of Paul Heyman. All right, sure, let's go with that. Anyways, getting back to the maneuvers here, Fantasy starts shoving Cassandra Golden Face into the mat relentlessly, not letting Cassandra get a breather here. Then Fantasy locks in an armbar scissor type submission maneuver and starts using the ropes for leverage, but she does get caught using the ropes for leverage. Then a little around here, Cassandra Golden looks to hit a corner splash onto Fantasy, but Fantasy does get out of the way just in the nick of time. So that way Cassandra would eat turnbuckle pads. So, anyways, moving on here. Fantasy goes to the top, looks to hit a flying crossbody, but gets caught by Cassandra Golden in midair. Cassandra Golden lifts her up, looks to hit her signature maneuver, but Fantasy does get out of it with a few elbows to the head of Cassandra Golden there. And in the closing moments of this match, Cassandra Golden does get Fantasy up on her shoulders and hits a one-winged angel to win the match. You know, I gotta say, I love the ladies division, and I feel like with these, you know, good matches that have been put on by both Cassandra Golden and Fantasy against each other, I feel like this should be able to help RCCW establish a ladies, women's, whatever you want to call it, division. Because I feel like women's wrestling in the South is severely under-lacking. Because it seems like not a lot of people want to watch women wrestle in the South. Or at least, from my experience, I mean, I've only been to RCCW. I haven't been to any other independent promotion. I'm sure they have a women's division across, you know, places like New South, Elkmont, whatnot. Like, but I think RCCW needs to establish a ladies' division. And I think with these two matches, I think it will really help them. Next match on tap here is a five-way elimination match for the Southern Heavyweight title. It is Charles Zanos, the Southern Heavyweight Champion, taking on Aaron Black, Scott Morgan, Jamie Richards, and Austin Towers, the four guys who we saw in a fatal four-way match last week, actually. Of course, that'd be Black, Morgan, Richards, and Towers. And, you know, early on, they were just doing some shtick, you know, they were having fun with one another. Austin Towers did his, from the greatest city in Anaheim, California, Austin, and whatnot. This is my domain. By the way, I gotta say that. Beautiful. Beautiful catchphrase. Anyways, moving on here. They kept doing shtick for a little while, you know. Xander's put on the jacket of Jamie Richards, the Omega Virus jacket. And then Black, to start off the action, hits a super kick to Xander's. Then Towers hits a chest-bruising knife-edge chop onto Scott Morgan. It seems like these past two matches that Aaron Black and Austin Towers have been involved in, it seems like, more or less, they start off the action. And, you know, Aaron Black and Austin Towers, they're the former West Coast Kings. And, I think this rivalry needs to have a definitive end at WrestlingCon coming up in August, but nonetheless, let's move on here. Xanders and Morgan give a homage to Ricochet and Ospreay with their little gymnastic routine, you know, reversal, 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 flip, flip, flip. I don't think Jim Cornette would like that, but it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Anyways, in Black, it's a enziguri, which is just wow, considering A, his size, and B, his size and weight. That looked amazing. He hits it on Towers, nonetheless, who's 7 foot, keep in mind. Black goes for the cover, but Towers does kick out. Then a little later on here, Xander sets a code breaker out of nowhere onto Black. Then Black gets double teamed. Actually, he gets pretty much not only double, actually he gets triple teamed, really. And is eliminated. He's the first man eliminated. And then Richards then gets eliminated following Black's elimination. And then finally, Xander's and Morgan's double team Towers. They both attempt the pin, but Towers kicks out. Like when he kicked out, they went kind of flying somewhat. It looked cool to watch. Anyways, moving on. Morgan gets Towers. Morgan gets Black, who has decided to come back in the match for some reason, into the Widow's Bite. You know that's a mission move. Oh, no, Octopus Hold. That's what it's called. Got him into the Octopus Hold, and it was Towers, not Black. Black was eliminated. Morgan gets Towers into the Octopus Hold. Towers breaks out of it, and hits Morgan with a sidewalk slam, and Morgan is eliminated here. Xander's gonna hit a Towers. My fall here. Towers hits a brutal bicycle kick onto Xander's, and he went flying pretty much. But nonetheless, closing moments of this match. Black comes back and interferes and hits Towers with the steel chair. Xander takes advantage of it and wins the match. So after this match, Xander's grabs the chair and attempts to hit Black with it. Black gets out of the way. He goes back with his valet. And after that, Towers and Xander shares a hug. And it was a really good match, in my opinion. I think the style of two big men versus three technical guys really helped establish that. RCCW has some big guys and then some great, technical workers. And like I said last week, I became a fan of Scott Morgan due to his Fatal 4-Way match with Black, Towers, and Richards. But I think I became a bigger fan of Scott Morgan even more, just because of the way he moves in the ring. I really like him, and I think he should get another shot at the Southern Heavyweight Crown sooner rather than later. But that's just me. Like I said, I really liked the match, and I hope the rivalry between Black and Towers continues. So now it's time for a little break, and it's time for a little segment I like to call Independent Wrestling Food Review with Billy Welker, my father. So, Billy, I got a question for you. At Rocket City Championship Wrestling, how do you think the foods you have, and according to my sources, they were nachos and a pretzel with a Butterfinger, how did you think they were?
Well, I felt that the nachos were very delicious and very tasty. They give you lots of nacho cheese, and the chips were very crispy. As well as the drink, which I had with the Diet Mountain Dew, was chilled at a very nice 34 degrees.
Yes.
As far as the pretzel goes, which I've heard is your favorite.
Yes, it is.
To have at Rocket City Wrestling.
Yes.
From a few sources.
Yes, it is.
The pretzel was very delicious, very soft and buttery, with a hint of salt.
Very good. Now, the Butterfinger, I heard it was melted somewhat, but it was still good nonetheless.
Well,
what do you think they should do to prevent the melting of the said Butterfinger?
I believe, which is a common thing in the summer that a lot of people pick up on, what should be done with chocolate products is they should be put in the refrigerator and served chilled. Then by the time the customer gets to eating it, it will be at a perfect temperature.
All right, very good. So, this is the end of the Independent Wrestling Food Review with Billy Welker. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Our next match on the card here is for the Southern Tag Team Championship. It is the FBI, the Full-Blooded Italians, who is represented by Buzz O'Malley and Brandon James, and who would later be with Charlie Slingamore. taking on the team of Scrap Metal, who are the Southern Heavyweight, sorry, the Southern Tag Team Champions and the Australian Tag Team Champions. Okay. Scrap Metal, which is Scrap Iron Lewis and Juggernaut Jeremy Flynn. If you don't know my history, Juggernaut Jeremy Flynn, at RCCW School Days, he and Travis Locke and Uncle Biff got in, were in a triple threat match. It was a hardcore triple threat match, keep in mind. And Locke got Flynn, you know, with the tennis, like he, like Locke got a tennis racket. And Flynn was looking for somewhere to, you know, just sit down and do this and do a spot. And you know who he chose to sit on? Me. And I'm thinking, oh God, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me. And then like Locke hits Flynn with the tennis racket, and that was fun. I was scared though, but I gotta say that was fun. Anyways, moving on here, the FBI taking on Scrap Metal for the Southern Tag Team Championships. Early on here, Scrap Iron Lewis hits a few hip tosses on Bugs O'Malley to start the match off. Then Jeremy Flynn hits a pair of knife-edge chops to Bugs O'Malley. Then follows it up with a maneuver. Actually, with a suplex, I believe. Yeah, suplex. Then a little later on here, Scrap Iron locks in a crossface on Swing of Mori, then transitions into a double-team maneuver. Brandon James gets on the offensive for the FBI, hits a maneuver on Juggernaut Jeremy Flynn, goes for the cover, but Flynn does kick out. Then Swing of Mori gets in, he locks in a sleeper hold on, I believe, Flynn, but breaks it himself, like, you know, he had him in a sleeper hold and he just, like, broke it himself, but I don't know, alas. BJ and Bugs O'Malley hit a double team buckle bomb, like, literally. They got, I believe it was Flynn, maybe it was Scrap Iron, I don't remember exactly. But they got him up, and they, like, hit him, and they hit a buckle bomb in the corner, and I'm just like, whoa, that, good stuff there. But nonetheless here, Bugs O'Malley then hits a running knee to the corner to Jeremy Flynn, looks to follow it up with a bulldog, but Jeremy Flynn counters it into a suplex. In the closing moment of this match, Juggernaut Jeremy Flynn and Scrap Iron hit their double team maneuver to pin the FBI and win the match. Keep in mind they were pinning Charlie Swing Amore, right? So they pin him and they win the match and retain the Southern Tag Team titles. I gotta say, this match, I mean, it didn't really do much for me. I mean, it was kind of a nice breather coming back from intermission. I somewhat enjoyed it. But it didn't do much for me. I mean, kind of the addition of Charlie Swing Amore out of nowhere kind of didn't really do much for me. And keep in mind, this was a team of big guys going up against, you know, one little guy and one medium-sized guy. Then you had Charlie Swing Amore out of nowhere. It just kind of, I mean, it really didn't do much for me, but I somewhat enjoyed it. But not all matches can be great 5-star Meltzer classics. But you know what? I liked it. And, yeah. Next match we got here is front of the show, JL taking on Travis Locke with Bradley Kane. Of course, Travis Locke is part of the Kane Empire here. Early on here, Locke hits a fireman's carry. Locke goes for the cover, but JL does kick out. Then Locke starts wrenching the arms, rather. I almost said neck, because I'm so used to seeing the wrenching of the neck. Locke starts wrenching the arms of JL. JL does get out of it. He hits a running STO, goes for the cover, but Locke does kick out. Then a little later on here, JL hits a beautiful diving crossbody from the top into the crowd, onto the outside, keep in mind. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, I said the RCCW arena is a very small, compact arena, or building rather, because it's more essentially a barn behind Cosmos Fitness in Hazel Green. But you know what? For what it is, it's a really good venue to run wrestling. But nonetheless, he hits that. Then JL sends Locke into someone's, like, actual boot. Like, literally, like, they plan to fly. JL's like, boot, boot. And, like, he just sends him into the boot. And I'm just like, wow. You see, and that's the thing about independent wrestling. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. And I will say it till the end of my life. independent wrestling is the best thing on the planet. The wrestlers interact with you, good fans, good food, and I actually have some stuff about the food coming up here in a minute, but I love independent wrestling, and I always will. So, nonetheless, JL hits a double leg drop from the top, then goes for the cover, but Lock does kick out. After Lock hits a suplex on the ring apron, keep in mind, and that hurt. Like, I've never taken that, but I'm sure it definitely hurts. Like, it's on the ring apron. It's not, like, in the ring. It's, like, on the apron itself. And that hurts. He gets JL in the ring. Lock goes for the cover, but JL does kick out of that. After a cannonball dive into the corner from Lock, Lock goes for the cover, but JL does kick out. And then later on here, after some blatant cheating by one Bradley Kane, Lock attempts the cover, but JL does kick out once again. And then JL hits an amazing Luthes press out of nowhere. Like, literally, like he was getting beat up, and then out of nowhere, boom, Luthes press. I was like, whoa, that's exciting. Closing moments of the match, JL and Lockie on the outside, they start fighting, and they go all the way to the back, and the referee, Doug Markham, who's a very good friend of ours here at the Mighty Slam Radio, he disqualifies both men. That match ends in a double disqualification. Now, I really liked this match. I really did. But have you noticed a pattern? Both Kane Empire representatives, both the Superstars and Travis Lock, have gotten double DQs. What is up, Bradley Kane? Keep your guys in the ring and keep your team's hands off the official. It's not that hard, man. But nonetheless, I enjoyed the match. It was a good match between two established workers of RCCW. What I'd like to see in the at WrestlingCon, actually, is JL and the Lost Souls. They have a name, I just can't remember at the moment, but JL and the Lost Souls taking on the Superstars and Travis Lock, that's probably what's going to happen. But, yeah, I enjoyed the match, good match, and that's really all there is to say when you think about it, so, yeah. Now in our main event for the night, this match for the RCCW World Heavyweight Championship, it is Dom Black with Dr. Trey Franklin taking on Nick Chimer, the RCCW World Heavyweight Champion, and the RCCW United States Champion. Of course, this match is only for the World Championship. Now, before the match began, Don Black's like, oh, we've heard of you over across the pond, mate, and I can't wait to tell the boys back home that I beat Nick Chimer, but you know what? I'm going to give you a chance to forfeit your title right now if you kiss me on the lips. Well, and keep in mind, Don Black's gimmick is like a Chippendales dancer. Not my words. nonetheless, Tramer starts off with a match with a hip toss. Then Tramer hits a brutal gorilla press slam. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, literally, he lifted him up and just slammed him on the ground. And you could hear the boards under the canvas. Oops. Start to, like, break. Like, it sounded brutal. Like, I'm not kidding. But, nonetheless, moving on here. Tramer hits a knife edge chop, and everyone gets a piece of the ass. Like, literally, he goes around the entire, outside. Everyone gets to chop him. Including, good friend of the show, Brennan Ashmore. He, you may have saw him on WAFF 48 News this past week. But, nonetheless, Black looks to, throw Tramer through the chairs. Not through the chairs. Into the chair, then the crowd. But Tramer does counter it and yeets. Excuse my Generation Z termage there. Black into the chairs. Tramer then hits a maneuver. Goes for the cover. But Black does kick out. Black hits a finishing maneuver, but it's not enough as Chamber kicks out at 2 7/8. JR, play the old WWE games. You'll know what I mean. Then a little later on here, Black with a Northern Lights suplex, goes for the cover, but Tramer does kick out. Then Tramer hits a headbutt. That sends, well, actually, even before that, Black looked to superflex Tramer off the top, but Tramer just headbutts him, and that sends him down to the canvas. He does get back up, however, sends Tramer off of it, and then Black looks to hit in the closing moments of the match. Black looks to hit something off the top, but Tramer does catch him in midair and hits him with a shoulder cutter. Like you know how, you have him on the shoulder and then, you transfer it into a cutter? That's it. That's what he did. He pins Black to win the match and retain the RCCW World title. I gotta say, I liked this match. It was a good story between a foreign worker and a local guy. It was really entertaining. I enjoyed it very much. I've always enjoyed Tramer's work, and to see this new guy, Don Black, I enjoyed him. So, yeah, that's really all there is to say about that particular match. And that's really it for the show this week. So, thank you guys tuning in. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show this week. Make sure you follow our social medias, our Instagram at The Body Slam Radio, our Twitter at Body Slam Radio, and we are now on Facebook. Search The Body Slam Radio under the pages filter, and that's pretty much it. So, for The Body Slam Radio, I'm Duncan Welker. I'll see you guys next time.